This Sunday, Jesus ventures into the realm of politics. And the Pharisees and the Herodians, they come up and they ask him a question about a very heated, probably possibly heated, political discussion of their day. And they want Jesus to give a very standard, possibly a bumper sticker, simple answer to the question, because they want to trap him. They have alternative motivations. But Jesus is not a politician. He's not there to give just a simple bumper sticker answer to this question. Instead, he challenges them, and then he has them go deeper. But before diving into the answer that Jesus gives to this question, I want to return to our first reading from the prophet Isaiah. This reading can offer us some hope, especially for the times that we find ourselves in. So this reading, just for context, it takes place about 537 BC. The Jewish people just before this have been captured by the Babylonians. And the Babylonian kings had adopted a policy of conquering tribes that were around them, different ethnic groups, and then exiling them away from their homelands and destroying the cultural things that were around them. The Babylonians then are conquered by the Persians, and the Persian king Cyrus makes the decision to send those ethnic groups back to their homelands, including the Jewish people. And instead, he decides to have them submit obedience to him by having them pay taxes or to the empire. Now, King Cyrus may have had this motivation in mind, and he may have thought that it was a way to be able to kind of squelch any rebellion that might have occurred in his empire. Thought it may have made the Jewish people more obedient to him. However, whatever plan he had, whatever evil he may have had in his heart to be able to do this, the Lord also had a plan. And even though King Cyrus doesn't know God, he still uses him in some way. He still calls him in some way. He still calls Israel by name. And so for us, one of the lessons we can take away is that there's a lot of craziness in our politics and in the world at large. There's a lot of war and destruction out there. There's a lot of evil and different ideologies that are at work that go against Christ and his church. But we have to remember that amidst all of that, whatever may be going on in the world, that the Lord is still in charge. Now, even though the Lord doesn't cause evil to happen, and he doesn't want us to commit evil because there's terrible consequences for committing evil acts, God can still make a good come out of an evil to be able to manifest his glory. Again, he's not trying to cause evil, but he can manifest a greater good out of that. And so, even though we might see a lot of terrible things that are out there happening in our world, we might see a lot of anger about various things. There might be different things that might frustrate us. We have to remember that amidst all of that, the Lord has a plan. Even if we can't see what that plan is, we have to acknowledge that the Lord is working, that he is the Lord of the universe, and he is the Lord of all. And so keeping that in mind, that can help us. But Jesus points to another response that we can make in our lives as well, that can also help us in the times in which we live. So as I mentioned at the beginning, the Pharisees and the Herodians, who were two groups that did not get along with each other, although they seemed to find some commonality in trying to trap Jesus because they want to have him arrested, they notice how the first thing they do is they try to flatter him, right? They tell him that he's a truthful man, that he doesn't regard the status of others. And surprise, we're going to find out that Jesus sees right through this. It doesn't work. Nevertheless, they then ask him directly, is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? So the first thing that Jesus does is he calls out their malice. He knows what's going on in their hearts. He calls them hypocrites. And part of the reason that Jesus probably does this is because some of the taxes that were being collected from the Roman authorities went into the pockets of the Pharisees and the Herodians. So they have a lot to gain by Jesus answering yes to their question, because it's justifying their corrupt behavior. It also may be justifying whatever corruption was happening in the Roman Empire at that time, whatever money was going towards the state. So if Jesus answers yes, he's going to be trapped. But also if Jesus answers no, that they shouldn't pay the tax, then he's going to be accused of rousing rebellion against the Roman Empire. So either way, whether he answers yes or no, it doesn't look like, at least on the surface, that this is a no-win situation for Jesus. But Jesus doesn't give in. He instead rises above the question and then goes deeper. So he takes the Roman coin and he asks whose image and inscription is on the coin. And the answer, Caesar's. Then Jesus tells them, then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. So notice here that he doesn't answer yes or no to the question. Instead, he tells them that what goes to the world should go to the world, and what is God's belongs to God's. Meaning that the reign of Caesar really only extends to this world and not much beyond that. At this time, Roman emperors were practically deified. They were treated like gods, and by putting their images on coins, it reinforced that for people. And we see a little bit of that in our own day. We don't deify presidents, for example, but we do put them on money. And a lot of countries do this. But even though you may have George Washington on the $1 bill, his reign does not really extend much beyond his own time. And you can say that for any other leader. Whatever the legacy of their policies may be aside, it doesn't extend much beyond their own time. So Jesus is critiquing that, but his next step is he tells them to give to God what belongs to God. Now really, everything belongs to God. God created everything. But what Jesus is really meaning here is to give our lives. That's what belongs to God. That our lives don't belong to a government. They don't belong to a political party or ideology that we may subscribe to. They don't belong to civic groups that we may be involved in, or school activities, or sports teams, whether those are teams that we root for, or teams that we participate in, hobbies that we may have. Our lives don't belong to those things. They belong to God and to God alone. So we need to give him our due. We need to give him our worship. And so the most radical response that we can give, even though it's actually a very simple response, it may not sound all that radical, is to live our life of holiness according to the will of God, in accordance with God's plan. That's what we can do. That's how we can give ourselves over to God fully. So, for example, it's making a decision that I'm going to go to Mass on Sunday, and I'm going to make that a priority above all else that I do with my week. It's deciding that I'm going to take a holy hour sometime during the week to be able to offer that time to the Lord. It's deciding that I'm going to give some time in my day, whatever that may be, to daily prayer. It's deciding that I'm going to spend time in my vocation with my family instead of working all the time. It's deciding that I'm going to sacrifice time on my phone and just sit in the quiet and silence, no matter how uncomfortable that may be. It's deciding that I'm going to prayerfully listen to the church on moral issues rather than our favorite politician or talk radio host or TikTok influencer. That we are going to listen to the Lord and his church. And all that, by doing this, by giving ourselves over to God, it's noticing that God has a plan in all things. And that plan is to live the universal call to holiness and to become saints and to get to heaven. That's the greatest response that we can have. And if you look at saints throughout history of the church and you read about their lives, there are many who have spoken out against injustices, and certainly we need to speak out when necessary. But often they combated the evil of their time by just simply following the Lord, God's will for their life. That was their response. It wasn't anything difficult or radical. It was just simply doing that. But it's hard because we want to take action. But that action that we need to take is that we should just render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God.